Today, in lieu of a regular class, I'm going to take a series of questions presented by Jai Krishna Das, something in between Brahmacharya and Adhikari. We're not quite sure which. So the first question is, how authentic our scriptures are? Well, they're not really our scriptures, they're Krishna's scriptures. We can say our in as much as we adhere to them. Just like we say our parampara, it means that it's not our property, but we are within that, a member of it, a servant of it. So Shastra is fully authentic. Otherwise there's no use to be a Shastra. Otherwise not a Shastra at all. Shastra means Veda, Veda Shastra. Veda means Vidya, knowledge. If it's not knowledge, then it's of no use. The authenticity of the scriptures is doubted by certain persons. They claim that they are man-made. But actually there's no evidence either way that they're man-made or not man-made. So actually it's a question of faith that we accept them, that Veda Narayana Sakshat, that the Vedas are directly manifested from Narayana, or they are Narayana. So that is a question of faith. It's not blind faith. It's reasonable faith. This is a big topic. What is blind faith and what is reasonable faith? I've discussed this many times. If you see this BVKS media ministry, there are various lectures on this. In Bangalore a few years ago, I went through this thoroughly, this topic of faith in Shastra. There's one lecture on that. There's also another one I gave in the 1980s or early 1990s on why should we believe the Mahabharata, which somehow or other they edited out of the media ministry, but they should put it back in again. That was quite popular because it was discussing, saying how can we believe those things? And so I discussed that in some detail because, you know, you're not the first person in history to ask these questions. Commonly asked questions. So even like many years ago, I gave some exhaustive reply to that. Can we believe the Mahabharata? Who made changes? This is the question. Yeah, that's my question too. Who is that rascal who made changes? Actually, you can't change Shastra. But if someone attempts to, whoever does that is simply a rascal, that's all. Who gave the rights to change it? Well, the only person who can give the right is Bhagavan Narayan himself. There have been interpolations and many, many misinterpretations, but the Shastra itself is perfect. Just like there may be some medicine which is a very effective medicine, or someone may adulterate that. But that doesn't mean that the original medicine is bogus. It's the person who adulterated it is bogus. So there's a story that Shankara met Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva took the form of an old man, and they argued and discussed for more than 10 days, and then Vyasa agreed that Shankara is the right person to preach the Vedanta Sutra. So this is a statement, not a question. It may or may not be true. The followers of Shankaracharya accept it as true. But actually we find in the Shastra itself that Bhagavan Narayan said that Shankara is the right person to preach the Vedanta Sutra in the wrong way. It is stated in Padma Purana that Bhagavan Narayan ordered Lord Shiva to preach Mayavadam Asat Chastram Prachandam Bhodamuchate, to preach Mayavad, which is Asat Shastra. So there's really no such thing as Asat Shastra, just like there's no such thing as Asat Guru, or there's no such thing as bad medicine. Medicine is good. It's beneficial. But sometimes we speak of bad medicine, it means some quack has made it, or like this. Quack. It means a bogus doctor. Self-appointed doctor. So Narayan appointed Lord Shiva to preach Mayavad. There were various reasons for that. One reason was to defeat Buddhism, which was very prominent in India at the time, which was anti-Vedic, was and is. So Shankaracharya preached a philosophy which was very similar to Buddhism, but he established it on the basis of the Vedas. So in this way he re-established the importance of the Vedas. So that's one reason. There are various other reasons which are described in Srila Prabhupada's teachings of Lord Chaitanya for Shankaracharya to preach this actually very inauspicious philosophy. So it may be that Vyas discussed with Shankara, who is the incarnation of Lord Shiva, and said, you are the right person to preach the Vedanta Sutra. That Shankara argued with Vyas, and then Vyas said, you're the right person to preach the Vedanta Sutra in the wrong way. If he had, just like Madhvacharya went later, and he presented his commentary, and Vyas, he asked Vyas for blessings. Is this the right understanding? And Vyas gave it. So if we approach Vyas, the guru, with a challenging mood, then obviously we don't get to understand what he has to say to us, because we're more interested in having him listen to us. We take the position of a superior. So Vyas may have tested him and found out, is he actually expert enough to misrepresent Vedanta? And then having discovered that, he said, all right, now go and do it. The reason for misrepresenting the Vedanta was because people weren't ready for the pure message of Vedanta, which is Krishna to Bhagavan Swayam. People are born in Kali Yuga because they are Kalaha Priya. They like arguing. They don't like to accept the truth. It's sinful people get born in Kali Yuga. So as the overseer of Tamagun, to increase the Tamagun, which is predominant in Kali Yuga, Lord Shiva, as Shankara, preached a philosophy which is very much predominated by Tamagun. In CC, which is often used by devotees to mean Chaitanya Charitamrita, I prefer to use the full name. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada criticized Shankara's commentary, that his commentary on the Vedanta Sutras 42, 43, 44, they are contradictory. Yeah. Certain, Prabhupada criticized that certain of his commentaries, certain commentaries on certain verses are contradictory. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, in doing so, he's following our previous Vaishnava Acharyas in criticizing Shankaracharya on these particular points. So the question is, how could he, Shankaracharya, cheat people with this kind of philosophy? Well, how can anyone cheat anyone with any kind of philosophy? There are so many pseudo-gurus prominent in India today. You know, just practically just by looking at their photo, you can understand their bogus. They don't even have to open their mouth. When they open their mouth, it gets worse. So, you know, all kinds of drivel. Drivel means nonsense, you can say. It's something, it gives something like the idea of, you know, when babies, they slobber and all that stuff comes out of their mouth. Babies go and all the lala in Hindi, what's it called in English? Slobber comes out of their mouth. You know, most people pass stool through their backside, but these bogus gurus, they do it through their mouths. Serious case of verbal diarrhea. I saw this, there was some well-known bogus guru who's said, the aim of my life is to have a smile on everyone's face. You always see him with a picture of a smile behind his big beard. But if he's a bona fide sadhu, he should tell you that this material world is miserable. It's full of birth, death, old age and disease. This idea, you should be positive thinking. Face the challenge of life. It's called the art of living. The challenge is that you're already defeated before you started. You're trying to enjoy life, but you have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. So a real sadhu should teach this, but instead he's teaching that you be happy in this material world, which means he's a complete demon and rascal. He's a cheater. People think, oh, you're trying to enjoy life, but you have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. So a real sadhu should teach this, but instead he's teaching that you be happy in this material world, which means he's a complete demon and rascal. People think, oh, he's so nice. He always talks about love and peace and togetherness and harmony. So nice. But he's not teaching you to get about the reality of this material world. Therefore, simply cheating. Now, how is he able to cheat so many people? And not just him. I mean, there's so many of them. So many cheaters. It should be obvious when someone charges you 2,000 rupees for a seminar and they teach you some, you know, pie in the sky, then they're cheating you. Pie in the sky means akasha pushpa, which flower in the sky. In English you say pie in the sky. But people love it. Oh, how wonderful. Because they want to be cheated. They want something cheap. They're not sincere. People are foolish. On every cigarette packet it says smoking causes cancer. And still people buy it and smoke it. They're paying money to get cancer. Is this foolish? So, like this, you know, foolishness is the mass condition of the people of Kali Yuga. The whole advertising industry, billions and trillions of dollars every year, works on the principle that people are stupid. That if you show something good, which the product doesn't give, then people will buy it, even though they know it doesn't give it. They, for instance, in the Western countries, the car tires are mostly sold with pictures of almost naked women. Car tires, yeah. So people see the car tire and the picture of the car tire and the picture of the beautiful woman. So they think, beautiful woman, I want. So some association is connected in their mind. I want beautiful woman, this car tire, beautiful woman. So they buy the car tire. But they don't get the beautiful woman. And they know they're not going to get a beautiful woman. When they buy the car tire, they don't ask, well, where's the beautiful woman? It's just some imagination that somehow or other, if they use this car tire, then beautiful women will like them or something. The women look at their car and say, oh, you're using that tire. Oh, really? So it's foolishness. But it works. So that's an example how the advertising industry works on the basis that people are foolish and they want to be cheated. So almost everything that goes on in the name of preaching religion, especially in what is erroneously called Hindu religion, works on the basis that people are stupid and they want to be cheated. You see, actually Shankaracharya had an elaborate system of philosophy and he was encouraging people to follow Vedic principles of moral life. So, I mean, that's not as grossly cheating as these modern gurus who just say, you know, you do whatever you like, think whatever you like, and you just give me 2,000 rupees and come to my seminar and say, Jai Guru Dev, and then that's the art of living. So if these people can cheat so grossly, then what's surprising that Shankaracharya's cheating philosophy cheats people in a subtle way, less gross manner? The next question I don't understand. What's this about the quadruple expansion? Chaturvyuha, Shankara says they represent the... What's the question actually? He was saying they're allegorical. So the question is that the Vishnu forms, if they're all Bhagavan, why are they not all one?